Newstalk 1620 WTAW Friday visit with folks at the College Station Police Department. Officer Phil Dorsett visiting with me this afternoon. First of all, Phil, there was a news release that came out regarding a bit of an unusual burglary case. It was another thing where, fortunately, there were some bystanders that witnessed some things, and that helped y'all pick up a suspect.
That's correct. Yeah, basically, it was a burglary interrupted, and people there on scene were able to get a good description of the suspect and get a description of the vehicle he was leaving in and the license plate of that vehicle. And then that was essentially, that information was relayed to other officers working in the city, and one of those officers was able to locate that vehicle at one of our apartment complexes, and then we did our thing and made contact with the folks that were at that apartment, determined they had been, one of them had been driving the vehicle and had actually been the person that went into that apartment, and were able to recover the stolen property.
And a bit unusual in a couple of notes. One was that weapons were taken.
Right. We do get that from time to time. You know, unfortunately, all too often people, for whatever reason, don't properly secure their firearms, and so, you know, when a burglary happens, whether it be of a vehicle or a habitation or any other kind of location, sometimes that's the item that's taken. In this case, there were two weapons that were taken, and you know, just got to be smart about storing your firearms, and keep in mind that if somebody were to come in, what would they have access to? You know, God forbid, if somebody did make it into your residence or your vehicle, you want to try to minimize, you know, the amount of property they can take. And certainly with a firearm, it's very concerning, because that gun's then going to be out on the streets and could be used against, you know, the public or us.
Second thing that doesn't happen, or I don't read very often, is that one of the victims did happen to come across the suspect, and the victim tried like mad to try to stop the suspect, went to some maybe extreme steps, like breaking out a window and trying to put a hole in a tire.
Right. Yeah, that is unusual. I can certainly understand somebody wanting to protect their property, and you know, the anger and frustration, especially when you witness right there firsthand somebody taking something that belongs to you and entering your residence. I can just imagine what that's like. But with that having been said, we want to make sure people remember that there's probably not any property that's worth risking your life for. You know, another human being is one thing, but property is just that. And so it's very, very dangerous, and I'm sure the person who did this will agree looking back on it. And it could be very dangerous to do that, and especially if the people you're, you know, trying to stop are armed or could be armed, as is oftentimes the case, it becomes even more dangerous. So, you know, what's happened has happened, and it wound up working out in the end. I don't think you can second guess that aspect of it, but just for everyone's sake, we would recommend keeping an eye on the person if you can, get a good description of them, you know, even, you know, whether or not you can, keep an eye on them, get a good description, direction of travel, description of the vehicle, and then relay that to us, because we've got a lot more people out there on the streets, obviously, than just you yourself, and we've got radios and can communicate with each other and tend to do a pretty good job of stopping these people as long as we have the proper information.
Well, and you did get that proper information from two bystanders that were in that apartment parking lot.
Right. Yeah, that was great too. I mean, again, you know, if people are observant, which sometimes we are, sometimes we're not, but if you are able to be observant and notice that something is happening that's out of the ordinary, let us know about it. You know, dial 911, call our emergency number, whatever the case may be, and write down if you have to, remember what you can. But if you're on the phone with our dispatch, it's so much easier to relay information as it's happening, because you don't necessarily have to write things down. You can just tell the dispatcher, here's the license plate, and read it out. You know, here's the color of the vehicle. So it's imperative that people call us early when something like this happens, and in this case, that's what ultimately led to the whole situation resolving itself the way it did.
Visiting with Officer Phil Dorsett of the College Station Police Department, one other thing I want to run by you was yesterday's power outage, which I guess 90 minutes in the overall scheme of things is not that long of a time, but it was between 3 and 4:30 thereabouts, and the outage if I recall correctly, generally University to Rock Prairie to the freeway, and I'm not sure how far west, but when the power goes out and traffic signals aren't working, you guys are caught in the middle of having to do traffic control, and now that we're about 24 hours after all this happened, I'm sure y'all are breathing a sigh of relief that the motorists, I'm hoping, all behaved themselves.
Yeah, for the most part, everybody did well. That one was a particularly difficult situation because, you know, sometimes we'll have one or two lights go out due to a transformer blowing or something to that effect. But it's rare, at least in my experience, to have that many. You know, I would say we had over 20 signals that went out, just an unofficial number from kind of where I was standing. And that's so many that there's just really no way that we can put an officer on every single one. And that is why we have, you know, the laws in place that state that if a light's not functioning, then you're treated as a four-way stop. And when people do that, it actually works out, you know, as well as it can under the circumstance. We did have some instances where people were, you know, getting impatient and running through the light without coming up to a stop. And while we had a couple minor crashes that I'm not sure if they were a result of that, but, you know, during that period of time we had a couple crashes, but nothing major that I could remember being related to that. So we were grateful that it worked out like it did, but it was definitely a tough time. I know I was standing at one intersection directing traffic for probably a good 45 minutes to an hour, and that can be dangerous, like you said.
Just be patient.
Right. You got to be patient. I mean, again, four-way stop, it's not that hard. You got to remember, some of these intersections are very big, so people on one side of the intersection, you know, may not be able to clearly see you on the other. But in this community, we usually have pretty good luck with people handling that the way they're supposed to. But, yeah, patience, I think, is the key. And avoiding driving, which is what we put out there, you know, avoid driving if you possibly can, because the more cars that are out there, just the harder it becomes. And so our utilities people worked as quickly as they could and worked very hard to get that restored. And with such a kind of a widespread outage, it was actually pretty I guess it was impressive that they got it restored as quickly as they did, and we were able to, you know, go about our business.
Well, another note about traffic, I don't think fog is back in the forecast, but the last two mornings have been an adventure in that area, and I don't recall any crashes there, so need to give a shout-out to motorists in that respect.
Yeah, it was very foggy this morning. I noticed that driving around about 7:30 myself. Just, you know, need to remember, My main suggestion in driving in fog is treat it like any other adverse weather condition. Don't drive any faster than the conditions allow you to drive safely in. Reduce your speed if need be. Keep in mind visibility is obviously what we're dealing with more than anything. And activate your headlights. A lot of vehicles now have automatic headlights that may or may not trigger when it's just very foggy or cloudy outside or a little bit of rain. And and basically, your car needs to be visible to the other vehicles on the road. So it's in your best interest to ensure that that's you know, happening. And if you don't turn the headlights on, it makes it so much harder. So I just recommend, even if your car has automatic headlights, if the weather is bad, you need to remember to turn them on manually to ensure that they're on. A lot of cars you see that doesn't happen on.
Thanks again to Officer Phil Dorsett, College Station Police Department, for the timely information on News Talk 1620 WTAW.